Good morning, everyone. It's great to be together this morning. Man, it's so special to come together every Sunday morning with all of our family groups, the whole family across the Atlanta metro area coming together. You know, it's the third week, so the youth and family is up the hill today. But, you know, yesterday we had a first at North River, okay? We had the first annual Lighthouse Cup yesterday. It was a great time. There were over, you know, 75 to 100 people out there, seven different teams. It was so fun. We started out with a devotional together. So many new friends. You know, we had, you know, the babies running around, not playing soccer, just running around the edges, trying to not get hit. All the way up to we had Elder Harold Channer out there playing. That was awesome. We had Sujit playing, and it was so many great teams. So this is our team right here. We were the Dad Bods. Actually, the Dad's Bods FC football club, right? And half of us got hurt, and it was pool play, and then it went to you know, tournament. And we told them, listen, we're gonna assume we made the tournament, but we're gonna decide to let another team go because we're too hurt. Don't tell us we made it or not. We just assume we made it. We didn't make it, right? But it was fun. It was a blast, and it was so much who we are at North River. Intergenerational relationships, coming together, having pure-hearted fun together, reaching out to our neighbors. Even the team that won is some of our neighbors in the community that were met through a nonprofit. Man, it's so special to meet each other, to have fun, to show God's glory, to do it God's way. Sports without arguing and cursing each other out is rare in this world. But that was happening yesterday, so it was so great to be together. Can we get up for everyone that was there for the soccer teams yesterday? So if you see me stretching during this, you'll know why. Like, just, okay. So let me ask you guys a question to jump in here. What do you think research has proven leads to less depression and anxiety, longer life, greater sense of purpose and resilience, and increased performance and leadership growth in the workplace? Anybody just want to shout it out? What do you think research has proven that? Shout it out. Okay, I couldn't hear any of that, right? But it's not getting a new dog, right? It's not the amount of money in your bank account. Actually, dozens and dozens of research, you know, done by psychologists and sociologists have proven that deep friendships and community lead to all these things. It is proven research that the depth of relationships, to have community in your life, leads to longer life. It leads to better mental health. It leads you to doing better in the workplace, so on and so forth. And yet, for those of us that read the scriptures, this rings true for us. Because of all the passages in the scriptures that talk about community and deep relationships, there's a book that came out back in the day called The One Another Way. Some of us would recognize that title. Because there's over, you know, there's around 70 different scriptures in the New Testament that talk about how we should treat one another, how we should go through life with one another. That Christianity is not a solo sport. It's not golf. Sorry for the golf fans, right? It's not solo, right? It's a team sport. It's impossible to be an independent Christian. And at this church, we deeply believe in building that together. You know, one of my favorite passages on this is in Ephesians 4. Let's read this together. Ephesians 4. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We'll continue in verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of new teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Man, I love this right here, a vision from the scriptures of what community should look like in the church. In fact, the analogy of a body of Christ here is all over the scriptures, that we belong to each other so much. We need each other so much. It's like my hand belonging to my arm. It's like the way my foot needs my leg is how we should treat each other. And that's what we deeply believe in building here at North River. You know, earlier in this passage, it talked about the leadership in the church. And we truly believe in following this model. There's not a single man at North River that leads this church, except Jesus Christ. Amen. He leads all God, all man. But Christ gives a team of people of different gifts. And we're so grateful, you know, in our leadership group here at North River, we have elders, we have evangelists, and we have our new teacher, Jeff, who also was already in there as an evangelist. But that's our team that leads the church together, and we all have different gifts. I'm so grateful as a young evangelist that the spiritual barometer, the spiritual character example in this church isn't me. I hope I can have an admirable character, but I'm so grateful we have elders that have gone through this for decades that we can look up to and follow their imitation of persevering in Christ. So this morning, as we talk about community, we're actually gonna have an elders panel, and so that we can ask them questions of what they've learned over time about community and relationships and how to go the distance living in community. So I'm gonna welcome up three of our elders couples. Y'all come on up. You guys can go and come on down. Steve and Susan here. All right, welcome, guys. So grateful that you guys are up here with us. Welcome to the North River Living Room. Well, we're just gonna have a conversation together and then be able to just dive into this topic of what we believe God can give us in a community with each other. But before we do that, I just wanna ask you guys, can you introduce ourselves? We have 10 elder couples, and this is three of them. We've already seen Sherwood and Ray a little bit earlier in service, but can you guys briefly introduce yourselves?
Harold and Jerry Channer.
Jeff and Ashley Reese.
Can we say thank you, guys? So we wanted to start out just broad for what you've seen in your life. And I wanted to ask, when have relationships in the church been really valuable to you? Or if you have any tips on going deeper, ways that have encouraged you to build relationships with one another in the service. Does anybody want to start with that? How have relationships been valuable, or any tips that you have?
Well, I can start. Two circles of relationships that have been very meaningful to me are my family group and then the Tuesday women's Bible study. And
that's a great group, isn't it, guys?
Yeah,
all those women.
But last week at the Bible study, I shared on the topic of hospitality. And as I was preparing for that discussion, I was wondering, because we're looking at Jesus and his habits, and I was wondering how Jesus, who didn't have a home, he didn't seem to have a home, could be hospitable. And then I discovered the Greek word for hospitality is philoxenia, which means loving strangers, which it's not about a house, it's about interacting. And of course, now we know we can look through any story of Jesus to see that. But so hospitality is really being attentive to the needs of people that we don't yet know, and then welcoming new relationships into our lives. And in fact, you know, every time we come to church, we have an opportunity to practice hospitality, like Romans 12 tells us to do. And we can practice it by meeting people around us, exchanging phone numbers, following up, and spend time together. And, you know, this is what I do when I come to church. And, of course, you want to prepare your heart to give and think about that before and pray about it and ask God to lead you before you get to church. But it's my kind of my 1, 2, 3. And I thought the first thing I do when I have opportunities for fellowship is look for the face that I haven't, look for someone I haven't met yet. I look for a new face. and introduce myself. And the second thing I do is I look around me and wonder, you know, who's the need? I may see someone and I thought, you know, they've had a death recently in their family, or I know their husband's been sick, or their child is going into a new phase or something, but I look for the need around me to try to encourage that need. And then the third thing I do, the last thing I do, is catch up with my friends. It is so tempting during fellowship break to go immediately to your friends.
No one ever does that, right?
No one. But I think I want to be like Jesus, and I want to love the stranger. I want to love the new face to me. And so this, to me, is where relationships in the body can begin.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing mm-hmm. that, Susan. And as we were talking, I was thinking about the different kind of relationships in the church, particularly like older or younger, you know, the intergenerational relationships. What do you want to share about that? How have intergenerational relationships meant to you in the past and valuable to you in the past?
Yeah, absolutely, Jordan. And by the way, I'm going to be reading a little bit from my notes a little bit because I have Advil dual pain reliever that I'm on right now after yesterday's soccer. So here we go. So in James 3, so Jeff helped us last week with just thinking through, you know, the New Testament Proverbs in James. So we'll look at James 3:17. It says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. And just kind of sharing my brief story here a little bit, tying into this scripture. I remember almost 35 years ago when a series of older brothers, along with a few campus brothers, studied the Bible with me when I was in campus ministry. It was those intergenerational relationships through the power of the Holy Spirit that changed my life. Those relationships taught me how to respect female relationships, helped me to learn how to truly be a man of integrity. When I respect and trust those relationships, it helped me to really see what mentorship was all about. You know, I think about those, it was brothers and sisters. They were deeply spiritual, had great spiritual virtues, which I admired and wanted to imitate. The thing that I appreciated absolutely the most was they never lorded over me. They left room in our relationship for openness, vulnerability, confidence. Confession first, where I was, you know, I valued deeply and wanted to imitate one day when I was married, had children, and had other relationships. Kind of fast forward. They never made me feel like the mentor relationship was one-sided. They left room in the relationship for me to seek input from them, and also wanted input from me, a 19-year-old college student. Wow, that really, it kind of brought a little pressure, but it also made me feel so encouraged and so inspired. Again, those were mature, ambitious, and deeply spiritual brothers and sisters. Yes, I had sisters as my mentors as well, and I really appreciated them, and I still do today. Wow, what an amazing blessing it is to learn from those spiritual virtues. And now incorporating that heart of spiritual humility into relationships I have today with the next generation. You know, hence yesterday with the soccer. It is a sacrifice, but it is well worth it. You know, I am so grateful for these next generation relationships because they're the ones who helped me raise my sons. They're the ones who study the Bible with my children. And now I'm able to turn around and, you know, encourage them, connect with them, and be able to spend time with them and their children. What an amazing connection. So thank you, Jordan.
Thank you so much for sharing, Harold.
Yeah. That was awesome. Harold, you and I have a lot in common. For one thing, I also became a Christian when I was 19 years old. And intergenerational relationships have been super important and valuable in my life. I think at the very beginning, at 19, in college and away from my own family, the peer relationships, the mentor relationships that I had in becoming a disciple and committing my life to Christ really taught me how to deepen my relationship with Jesus, how to share the gospel with people, how to be a great student, a great friend, you know, just all of those kind of how to live with roommates, things like that, that I really just needed help with, especially to know how to do that in a godly way. Lots of examples of a worldly way, but the examples of godliness were really amazing. But it was also really important to me as a young person to find spiritual mothers. Mm-hmm. And God really has blessed me in my life with so many spiritual mothers. I find that this is true today too, but at that time, the best way for me to get those relationships was through serving. Just finding a way to serve women in the church that were older than me. And in doing that, it wasn't like a sit-down lesson, you know, here, I need to teach you how to balance your checkbook. I know, I'm old. you know, all those things. It was more just being there to witness the relationship in the marriage, parenting, going through trials. They showed me and continue to show me how to suffer well, how to grieve, how to be transformed. And that is something that I really gained a lot as a younger person. And you know, it just really solidified my conviction how important that is. And I think about how Jesus said to his disciples when he sent them out, freely you have received, freely give. Right. And he expected them and expects us to also share with others the grace that he's given us. And it's a privilege for me now to learn from all generations of relationships within this church. I think it's, for me, volunteering with the River Kids, you know, getting to learn from the 3 and 4-year-olds, because Jesus did say, unless I become like a little child, I will not enter the kingdom. And in doing that, I get to hang out with teens and campus students who are also volunteering and meet the parents who have those small children and develop relationships there and learn from them, learn the new ways that they're really reaching their children's hearts for God. And that's been really helpful for me. Absolutely love getting with young couples who are new in their relationship or have a new marriage and are just committed to building in a way that glorifies God, you know, and definitely love the Tuesday Ladies Bible Study. Mm-hmm. Every week, just getting to hear and learn from women my age and older through their experiences and their relationship with the Word has been amazing. I think as someone trying to think about being a mentor, and no matter what age we may be in intergenerational relationships, if you're thinking about wanting to teach others, you can feel like, oh, I'm a recovering perfectionist. So God is trying to transform me in that. But I look back at the people that have really impacted me, and it wasn't their perfect lives and the way they juggled everything perfectly. It was their sincere and persevering and surrendered faith through those challenges that really impacted me.
Amen. Thanks so much for sharing. I know Toya and I and our family has really been honored and blessed by your hospitality, Ashley, but not your hospitality in your house, as Susan shared, because Ashley is like a second grandma to our kids, and are you constantly over helping us, serving us, so thank you so much for that, Ashley. Why don't we keep on going here? So we're talking about intergenerational relationships, and so often that happens in intimate settings or in the home, but the reality is that once a week we're all here together. And while intimacy is easier with a smaller group, intimacy can also happen in a big group, but oftentimes it takes more intentionality. And because of that, often it's easy to feel like in a big group, I've tried to build relationships and it hasn't worked. Or I try to reach out and I wasn't reciprocated. And have you ever been in that place where it's easier to give up on trying to build relationships. And so I wanted to ask you guys that, you know, what has helped you over time? What would you speak to someone that might feel like they're in a season of, maybe I'm too tired and I want to give up on trying to build relationships. Would you guys want to share anything on persevering and being intentional on trying to build relationships?
I could comment on that.
Please.
I think oftentimes we forget how important the church is to God. And it's the bride of Christ. It is the body of Christ. And so it's a very real spiritual organism, something that God cares so deeply about and that he's present in. Or I think sometimes we forget how essential the church is for our own spiritual growth. And I want to key off some things that were in the second part of this passage you talked about, and that is that it talks about and emphasizes and paints a picture of growing together as the church. And that, in fact, the supporting ligaments that hold the body together are, in fact, well, what are they? I mean, it doesn't say what they are, but it would seem to be those are the relationships that we have one with another. That's what holds the body of Christ together. And I know that, so I've been a disciple of Jesus for 43 years. Amen. And there's been a lot of change. I've been through a lot of change. And there are times where my really good friends move away. And there are times where I'm in new ministries or new family groups or whatever. And so what, in my life, I've regularly and periodically had to ask myself, who are my really good friends? And I've had to rededicate myself to my best friends. And I've had to dedicate myself anew to really building great new friends. And in particular in my family group, and my family group is always the opportunity, right? The small groups that we're organized in here at North River, that is the really important group to seek out. Look, I want to make these people my really great friends. And they're new friends. You know, I'm just going to say that I have too many great friends to count. And I'm going to say that everyone on this stage would number among, you know, my top friends, either new or old in the church.
Amen. Thanks so much, brother. Jerry, would you like to share about this?
For me, can you guys hear me good? I want to just touch on just when you come into the church wanting relationships, but you have what I call fear or insecurity or guilt or shame, and you feel like everyone around you is doing great, and you are, you know, you can't measure up. And so what I want to say to you is that, you know, this is a family. If you watch and pray and ask God, sometimes God will put someone in your life that, you know, you don't think that this person might have an impact on you. They may be wanting to get to know you, but that's not someone who you would normally regularly hang out with. But there's something, there's a reason why God put them in your life. And so for me, I know, before I became a Christian, relationships were really, really difficult for me because I was always wanting everyone to see me a certain way and just have this facade. But when I came into the church and I studied the Bible, I was so excited about the relationships that I had built because these women were who I wanted to be like. They were so different from me. They were kind, they were gentle. And me being a New Yorker, I was just rough around the edges. And I needed
a lot. Not that Southern hospitality.
Yes, I needed a lot of help on how to learn how to be kind and how to be gentle. And so I would look for women who had those qualities. And I remember throughout my years, that's what I did. And coming to North River, I remember the New to North River classes. And I looked over and I remember Steve and Susan. They were leading the New to North River. And I just saw her kindness and her gentleness, and I'm like, I need to be more like her. And so we built a friendship. But what the whole point that I'm trying to make is that, you know, when you come into church, you want to pray, right? You want to ask God to show you the people that you want to become friends with might not necessarily be who you need in order to grow spiritually. You know, there might be someone that looks totally different, someone that you normally would never hang out with them, but they can teach you so much if you just let them in, you know, if you just let your guard down. And I feel also confession is so important. Yes. I think God wants us to thrive, right? Not just survive and live. He wants us to grow. And so when we don't have those relationships and we don't get to confess, we're just bogged down. And those chains that were once broken become linked back together again, and we don't know how they got there. Well, it's because those relationships that you were supposed to be in, you chose not to. And you just, you know, put yourself out there again, and Satan just grabs you. And we don't want that to be our family. We want to pull you in. We want to. You just have to watch and pray and look for those souls that you can connect with, and that can teach you something. You want to grow, not just survive.
And I'll just briefly share, you know, Christ was an initiator. He initiated coming down to this earth. He initiated, you know, asking his disciples to follow him. While he didn't initiate going to the cross, he initiated putting himself in the position where he could have been taken to the cross. And if we are Christ's followers, then Christians are initiators. Christians are disciples of Christ, are initiators. And I know when I've gotten discouraged about relationships, is I get in a place where I can go, I'm not going to initiate anymore. If I'm going to have friendships, I'm just going to wait for them to emerge. No one's ever reached out to me. No one asked me. No one invited me. Have you been there before? And the call of Christ is for all of us to look past that because of what Christ did for us, to initiate with somebody else. Most of my relationships have been me initiated. And I think if you think about you, it's true for you also. And so let's be initiators with one another. Amen?
Hey, Jordan, real quick. So I just wanted to tack to that, you know, back to that James scripture. It says, wisdom comes from heaven first, is all pure. Wisdom comes from heaven. Then it goes, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere. Amen. It comes from heaven when we connect. Thanks, bro. Amen. I just wanted to share that.
That was a good cut-in. That was great. So let's keep going here, guys. In any long-term friendship or relationship, inevitably, because we're human, we get hurt. We hurt each other's feelings. It's impossible to have a deep relationship with a human being for longer than about 3 days and not get hurt. Let's just be honest, right? And so you guys are still here. And I wish we had time to go down the line and say, why are you still here fighting for relationships? And what has helped you reconcile? But for time's sake, I know I've talked to Jeff about this before. Jeff, would you mind sharing what's helped you in moments when you've gotten hurt and how to reconcile?
Yeah, this is a good one. I've been around 34 years, probably in the fall. And maybe you've been around a week, maybe around 40 years. At some point, you're going to get hurt. Somebody's going to hurt you. You're going to hurt somebody. I mean, I'm a clown. I'm going to hurt somebody. And it's a fact that's going to happen, especially the larger the group is. And I believe what has helped me the most is really taking responsibility for my own actions. You know, taking ownership of my sin. I think of Matthew, a couple of scripture, Matthew 18:15. If a brother sins against you, go show him his fault, right? And then, therefore, confess your sins to each other. I remember a situation that occurred probably 25 years ago. Ashley and I was in a ministry. We're in a group meeting, and something really strange happened. A brother said some things, and it stuck in my heart like a GPS pin for about 25 years, if not longer. And he'd apologize for some stuff, but that thing that happened still stuck in my heart. Really, absolutely, up to recently. And the Bible says, don't let a bitter root grow up and defile many. That little GPS pin started to really grow into a bitter root. And it would come out in anger or whatever the case may be. And again, 25 years ago, that's what sin can do.
Yeah.
And I would see this particular brother, and I would intentionally avoid him. Because I knew there was some space there. There was some unresolved stuff that I was feeling. And I just couldn't get closeness because he didn't have any idea, but I had an idea. And I was sharing this with a close brother of mine about this situation, and what he said changed me. Mm-hmm. And what he said is he says, hey, Jeff, it sounds like here's an idea that you might need to apologize. And my first thought in my head was, wait a second, I'm not the one who sinned here. This brother's, I've been waiting around for this guy to apologize. And, but what it struck me was I was the one that had the attitude at this point in time. And it really struck me, I thought, wait a second, he's the one that sins against me. Instead of James, I need to confess my sin to him. So I saw that brother literally a week later. I pulled him aside, and it took some courage because this was something I was unearthing 25 years later. He didn't remember the event. And I get it, but I was the one, he had forgotten about it because he had asked for forgiveness, and I obviously had not given it. And so what happened is, once we resolved this, I brought it up. I felt this gigantic weight off of me.
Amen.
Literally, I felt like I'd been healed.
Amen.
And then what happened, I started tracking other people that maybe I had some issues with. I started pursuing situations that maybe I'd brought about. And the healing that it brings in these relationships is amazing.
Amazing.
So I just want to encourage us that things are going to happen. We have to be humble and courageous and really take ownership. Hey, I've got this going on. Just please forgive me. And in a group this size, it's amazing what it's going to do to us when we practice those things with one another.
Amen. Thanks so much. We're going to have to move on for time. When I heard that story, I literally went, this is why you're an elder. Like, isn't that so inspiring? Thank you for being an example for us and for us to learn from our elders' wisdom and years of experience how to walk with God and one another. We're going to wrap up here, guys, with one more question. You know, as we were discussing this time together, while we wanted to focus in on community, it's something at the core of who we are at North River, is to not just show up on Sundays and sit next to each other, but to truly be a family. We did want to just ask, while the elders and elders' wives are on stage, is there anything you see as shepherds of the flock? Is there anything that you're really proud of that you'd want to encourage us in? Or maybe there's something you see that you'd want us to grow in and to keep on our minds as we pursue God as this flock, because we're so grateful for y'all shepherding. What do you want to share, what you love and what you're proud of at North River, or anything that you're seeing that you want us to see and to grow in?
I love how, you know, when Jesus told the parable of the kingdom is like yeast that works through the dough. It's alive, it's messy, it takes a lot of time, you have to wait. I think I see those things, and I love in the intergenerational relationships, being able to see faith in places that aren't broadcast on stage or on social media, but in everyday lives.
Amen. Love that.
You know, I'm really proud of, three real highlights of my spiritual journey over the last five or so years. It's first of all my family group, okay, which has thrived and become so amazing, so encouraging. Also the East Cobb Sandy Springs singles group, which has become three thriving family groups, has been a real highlight. And then the Village Ministry has become a real highlight that I just want to hold up. Let me just say, in terms of an encouragement for the congregation, The things I note in this verse, it talks about work twice. And one is where the leadership that Jesus has given the church is in order to prepare each and every member for their works of service. And then furthermore, that we only grow to unity as each part does its work.
Amen.
And so what is the work of God? It's people. And what is, to be more clear, it's loving, serving, and teaching one another. And so I would just encourage everyone, everyone, be a builder.
Amen.
Right? You are building the church with every relationship you build. Be a builder. And if you feel weak or discouraged or in, then draw near to those who are building. And draw near to your leaders. Draw near to your leaders who are building, and they can help you be a builder.
Amen. Amen. Amen to that. Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it. I'm just going to say some closing remarks, and then we'll wrap this up. Guys, it is so special to be a community, to be a family all together. I do hope more and more, even when we come here, and in one sense, it feels like we're spectating a service. That's not what this is. We are coming to give. We don't come here to consume. We come here to give to each other, to be a part of a family, to worship God, and for each part of us to do our work. And whether that's like, it looks like this, whether it looks like your family group during the week, whether it looks like soccer yesterday, you know, we had 20 young dads at my place for a bonfire yesterday talking about what kind of dads we want to be to our kids and how God is fathering us. Whatever it looks like, let's not do this alone. Don't come here on Sunday and don't talk to people all week and just show back up next week. That's not what this place is. We are a family walking through life together, knowing that when we walk with each other, that Jesus walks with us. Amen? Amen. It's been a great time together with the elders and elders' wives. Let's give it up for them. Thank you so much, guys.